This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
When they come, and they will, they'll come for you.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Hello, and welcome to episode 5. Of the Ultimate Marvel Podcast. I'm Jack Sutherland, and unfortunately, Ronnie Barron is MIA this week. But I think Vader's with us. Are you there, Vader?
Yes, I am. Unlike Ronnie, but much like the Force, I am always with you.
Awesome. So here's what we're going to do this week. Our good friends, Martin and Nick, on the Nerdy Legion Podcast, who aren't actually big Marvel fans, had a engaging conversation about Marvel.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. They know more than you think they do.
Fair enough. They used to be big Marvel fans back in the day. Not so much now, but they're getting back into it, which made the conversation all that much more interesting. So we're going to replay that for you, and I hope you enjoy it.
So without further ado, here's your substitute Sith Lord hosts, Nick Wetmore and Martin Ferretti, a.k.a. Ferret Tim.
So let me give you some background, Nick.
Yes.
X-Men used to be my shit. And I mean, I have back on to X-Men very briefly, like, I don't even, like 2010, 2011, and dropped off right away. I was like, I've just been gone for so long, I don't even want to try. And then when they relaunched all the new series, Extraordinary and whatever the other one is, I tried reading those, but just everything's so closely tied to the Inhumans, and I had never cared much for the Inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the whole, you know, Fox, Sony, Marvel thing.
Sure.
Where I just kind of was like, eh, I can't do it. So I dropped all those after like 2 issues.
Did you try the Joss Whedon run?
I did read that. That was actually pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that should scratch your X-Men love.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty good. But you know, like, I expect a certain story from X-Men, right? And I know when you were reading Alters recently from Aftershock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Alters to me is kind of, it's got that spark that X-Men used to have that to me doesn't have anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Where, like, after a while, there's just so many times you can rehash the same story.
Mm-hmm.
But having it told with these new characters and Alters it's pretty interesting. Because it gives you that sense of wonder that the X-Men used to give me when I was growing up.
Yeah, it's for me, X-Men should hit a good balance of wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a lot of excitement to the page,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of teen drama,
mm-hmm.
and sort of positive.
Yes.
Sort of uplifting. Not really like bubblegummy happiness, because it is still them against society.
So hopeful, I guess you would say.
Hopeful, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I will agree, they sort of lost that a little bit.
Yeah,
the last few years for sure.
Yes. So that's kind of what I want. And you know what the thing was with me and X-Men, the event stuff, Nick. Right? Like I totally get comic companies need to do their yearly event, you know, for whatever uh-huh. reason. Okay, this uh-huh. they sell more books, whatever. That's fine. I'm totally cool with that.
I love them.
But the problem is, like, when you have an event that ties into 6 other X-Men titles,
mm-hmm.
right? Which there's not 6 X-Men titles now, but there's gonna be soon.
I'm sure.
Which is weird, and I want to get back to that later, because they're gonna do an Iceman series, they're gonna do a Jean Grey series,
mm-hmm.
they're doing the X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what else. Oh, Generation X. I think they're bringing that back.
Really?
Oh my God, Generation X was the best shit ever.
Wow.
That was my favorite X-Men book back in the day.
That was a fun series.
When that was coming out. Because it gave you that. It had that ting angst, you know?
Oh, it was angsty, for sure.
It was very angsty.
But also real... It was a lot more surreal.
Yes.
Than what X-Men was coming out. And I think that was all like Chris Bacalo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was definitely helming that.
Generation X. That freaking... What was that dude's name? The skin guy. His power was that he could stretch his skin.
Yeah, and then it started to flake.
Oh, man, that book was amazing.
But really cool. And it's sort of bizarre if you think about it, because when, like, New Mutants came out, they were Generation X.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When they first were coming out, it was like, who are these people? Oh, my God, they're so different and crazy. And then it's like, holy shit. 15 years later, they do the same darn thing and get the same exact cool results.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it was so good.
You know, it's funny. when I had pretty much dropped all of Marvel, I don't even know, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The only Marvel book I was reading was New Mutants. They had relaunched it.
Mm-hmm.
With, I think, Magic was the leader of the team. And it was so good. I love Magic. Magic is freaking amazing.
How many issues before she went to hell?
Oh, like the second issue.
Yeah, because that was always the best. Because you knew it was going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
And it was always just, it never let down. It was all, every arc in hell was always good.
Well, no, but like I'm saying, like, she would pop in and out like every issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like she got to Limbo to get something and come back and whatever. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was cool.
But don't say that's the only thing you've read.
Well, I'm saying like long...
Because let me correct you.
Oh, boy.
Spider-Verse was pretty kick-ass. And I'm always going to put that asterisk in there because I know but... you don't believe it.
No. I do believe it. I love the hell out of that. Spider-Verse was my jam, dude.
We
talked about that for, what, like 3 hours?
We still are. Are you kidding me? So good. That's why events can be done really well. And I love X-Men events when it's X-Men. I love Spider-Man when it's all in Spider-Man's universe.
Mm-hmm.
But when they start intersecting, unless it's the summer of annuals and every annual from every title are all going to interconnect like they used to back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I want to see it. Like when DC did Pulp Heroes, that was awesome. That was so cool. And I don't know why that companies don't do that anymore. But I hate to say it, like, I don't want an X-Men event to all of a sudden bring in all of the Avenger titles and then all of, you know, X, Y, and Z. It's just like, it's too much. You don't have to, every event doesn't have to include every book in your line.
Correct.
Ugh. And Marvel's the worst at it.
Marvel is the worst at it.
Yeah. Even though Secret Wars was my jam. Read that book and read... I think I'm at 21. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Offshoot trades. I'm telling you, I keep a list of all the trades, omnibuses, and novels that I've read throughout the year for each year.
Yeah.
And right now, currently, I'm at like 159 for 2016. And I went back and like, oh my God, a fourth of those books are Secret Wars. Oh, shit. That's so dumb. But so good. But so dumb. Let's be honest.
That's too funny.
And out of those 20 trades, feel free to IM me or message me. I can tell you the 7 that are actually good and you should spend money on. The rest of them, garbage.
Oh, welcome to the Ultimate Marvel Podcast, episode number 5.
Yes! We're taking over!
We're taking over every podcast.
Oh my gosh. But I'm telling you, when you... DM'd me and said, I want to talk about Marvel. I'm back in. At least for the mutants that you're reading right now with what is it? Death of X?
Yes.
As soon as you wrote that, it wasn't that I was excited that you're reading Marvel again. just that you found something that like sparked that interest that you used to have for a title. Whatever title it was, whatever company it was, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be me being like, I just read Arc 3 of American Flag. I'm back in, you know, that type of thing.
American Flag, yeah. I want to reread that. It's been a while.
I didn't know that. I didn't think you read it.
American Flag? Yeah, I've read it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, I read it.
Good.
So let me tell you how I got into this. Oh, wait. Let me finish my point first.
Yeah, go for it.
So I dropped X-Men because, you know, they were doing whatever, 5-6 titles. And then they would do an event that lasts, you know, whatever, 3-4 months. And then they have 1 month off. And then it's the next event. And it ties into all 6 books, plus the 7th book they just launched. And I was like, dude, I just can't do that. Like, my wallet can't afford that.
Do you hear yourself right now? This is exactly what I was telling you about Batman. To a T.
No, it's not.
That Batman was in the 90s, he was jumping from one event to the other, and it was throughout all of the books.
There was a time, yeah. I guess it started with right before Nightfall, right?
Yeah, but it was exactly the same time for X-Men. Pretty much.
Yeah, I guess you're probably about right. But the difference being that I love the shit out of the Batman universe. And as much as I always love the X-Men, if I had to pick between the two, I would go with Gotham.
Oh, that's not a Sophie's choice at all. Come on.
Right.
But I'll be the opposite side of that coin, that same exact coin. When they started all of these tying together every storyline through all the Bat books, mm-hmm. and I have a subscription to Detective
mm-hmm.
and the Batman proper title, and every month I would receive them in my plastic. I believe it was in plastic. I believe Marvel had the brown paper bag wrapping.
Yep, they did.
But when I received it, and it'd be like, oh, whatever it's called, Contagion.
Mm-hmm.
Issue 2 or part 2. And then my Detective came, and that was part 5. It was like, are you freaking kidding me? And by the time I got those, good luck trying to find them in any store. Because usually, you know, by the time you get yours, they've already been on the rack for 3 weeks. So every time I got them, it wasn't a sense of joy to unwrap. It was a sense of, like, dread that I'm going to be missing one issue of that arc. And it just drove me crazy. That's what drove me away from Batman.
Mm.
It had nothing to do with anything else. The character, the creative teams, they were all awesome. I just couldn't afford 6 titles. Or missing out on copies until I could go to this bizarro, old-timey comic convention in 3 months. Hopefully my dad can take me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can write down on a piece of paper, and that's the only 4 issues I'm searching for the next 4 hours, trying to find them.
Sure.
Which is fun once you're in that moment. But knowing that you can't read that arc, it was such a sense of frustration. So I totally get it when you're saying that about X-Men. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it was tough. And you know what the difference, mm-hmm. too, was even though the Bat events were all interconnected and you had to be reading, you know, every title, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, for the most part, I think if you were reading Batman and Detective, you were probably okay. Because, you know, like when they would spin off into Catwoman or Robin or, you know, whatever else, Azrael, like, you could probably skip those. You know,
possibly, like, but it's tough as a comic book reader to see part 1 and you're missing part 2.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
Whether it's good or not. And I hate to say it, at that time, I wasn't smart enough as a young boy to be like, you know, if I got Legends of the Dark Knight or Shadows of the Bat, they're usually not included in all of these crossover events.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have cleared up the whole situation. Same with Spider-Man. Spider-Man would have arcs that go across issues. Yes. If I would have got Marvel team up, I would have been golden.
Yep.
Because those never are included.
Yep.
But do you want to go back to X-Men? Do you really want to pick up that issue of, like, Power Pack?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they included some weird mutant offshoots that's always just like, eh, do I really need to read that part? Not really.
Yeah.
Some X-Factors are better than other X-Factors.
Oh, man. What was that one that Remender did? Was that... That was an X-Factor. It was...
That was Uncanny X-Force. X-Force.
Oh, my yes. God. That was good.
I know. Oh, so good. Yeah.
Great art, too. Phantom X is my jam. Mm.
Great art, too.
Matter of fact, Phantom X had a hilarious little section in... Inhumans versus X-Men.
Really?
Yeah. It's like one panel, but it's hilarious.
Didn't we talk about Phantom X before?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Like, how can that character not be relevant right now?
Phantom X should be in everything.
Yeah. I mean, people are burned out on Punisher. Guess what? Just do Phantom X. It's pretty much the same thing.
Boom. We don't even need royalties for that. Marvel, you're welcome.
And he just looks so cool, too.
He does, right?
Dude. He looks like he should be a G.I. Joe. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Oh, you are badass. And I'm not talking Shipwreck G.I. Joe either. Come on.
Oh, wow. So recently...
what brought you back in? I'm pretty sure I know what brought you to Death of X.
All right, so tell me.
But tell the listeners.
Well, I
think it was Mike Myers.
Man, you're good.
Yeah.
You are so good. Matter of fact, he got me reading something else, which I planned on reading anyway.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
We're going to get to that after I talk about the X-Men.
Yes.
And I think you should read it because it's freaking awesome. So, it is. It's all Michael Myers' fault. I know Daryl Taylor's very upset. Because he's a hater of the X-Men.
What?
And
the hell out of here.
So, you know, like, as passionate as Daryl is for Batman, he's got the same passion for the X-Men.
Yes.
And let's be serious. Like, Marvel's ruined the X-Men.
Wow.
Okay. They have. They've ruined
them. Wow.
Until Death of X.
Really?
I don't think Daryl agrees, but...
Oh, no? He's not on board just yet?
He's not on board yet, but we'll convince him. Maybe we'll trade. Maybe I'll pretend to like Tom King's Batman, and he can pretend to like X-Men.
Shots fired.
Anyways, you were saying...
Hey, that piece of... that three panels that you posted on Facebook.
Yes.
Who drew that?
Let me see.
The colors and the art are awfully pretty on that, and it's not even a real action-y scene.
No, it's not.
But boy, did it look cinematic.
Hang on, I'm pulling it up.
Okay, all right. Like you said, this is great podcasting for the listener.
Yeah, way to go, Nick. It's like you expect me to take notes or something.
Well, you could have posted it on your Facebook.
What the hell do you think this is?
You know how many times I've asked Mike Myers that? Like, hey, who's the creative team on that? Just because I'm so curious, and it's so good looking, and it's from, like, you know, 85, so I'm not quite sure.
Mm. Marvel, where do you put the creative team in your books?
They never do. That's what makes them great.
How am I supposed to know this?
They're so dumb.
Surely it's on here somewhere. I bet it's like in the cover. Let me go back to the cover.
They're really dumb sometime.
You? Who's you?
Francis Linnell? You?
Maybe.
What issue was it of Death of X?
No, the picture of Storm was from Inhumans versus X-Men #1.
Oh, okay. Wow, really? You think that's you? Because he has such scratchy art.
That's what it says on the cover. Let's see. Inhumans versus X-Men. I'm just going to look it up.
I was just remarking to somebody, I believe it was Ronnie, we were talking about his art, and his art is so scratchy half the time.
Let's see. Inhumans version number one. Yeah, Lanil Francis Yu.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, it's pretty though, right?
Yeah, that certainly does not look like the same guy who did, Secret Invasion.
And let me tell you, so I think a lot of that is the coloring, and the inks.
Who did the color? I won't ask you that. I'll find out.
Yeah, God knows. Jesus did it.
You know I love the colorists. Come on. Don't be that way.
But there's a couple scenes that are scratchier than that. Like, the book starts off pretty detailed. Like, especially with, like, you know, I would imagine it's hard to draw a Beast, right? All that fur, that's got to be hard.
Yeah, without it looking real scratchy.
Right, yeah, exactly.
How do you make it look smooth yet textured?
So the beginning's, like, super detailed. And then, like, there's some parts of it where it does get scratchier. But it's still very detailed and finished and polished. Like, they cut to the quiet room, and Flagman and is talking to Black Bolt, and there's like a jazz singer at this bar restaurant place where the Inhumans are hanging out, and it's a little bit scratchier, but it's still pretty as hell. And oh my God, he draws a beautiful Emma Frost.
Really?
Oh my God! Like, there was one page. So Emma Frost goes to see Black Bolt, and I turned the page, and it's like, ba-bam! And I was like, woo!
Whew!
Gotta cool my jets. So, back to the question. It was Mike Myers, because I know he's been reading that.
Yeah.
And so the discussion that Mike and Daryl have had about Death of X and just the X-Men in general got me intrigued, because, you know, that's kind of the type of person that I am. Like, I know what I like and what I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And I don't push what I like or dislike on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Batman stuff, like, a lot of that's a joke, right? Like, I don't hate Tom King's Batman by any means. I do that a lot of times just to piss Daryl off.
Of course.
And then, of course, Tom King, because Daryl sends him clips and, you know, comments.
yeah.
By the way, thank you, Tom King, for the Valiant Central podcast promotion. One of the episodes, it was a couple weeks ago, I think. I briefly said something about Tom and Batman in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming Daryl told him, and so Tom replied to the Valiant Central podcast post.
Mm.
And that week we had like several thousand more listeners than we normally do. And as a result, like, as good as our numbers have been, now they're even better because we got the Tom King bump.
A Christmas bonus.
So
the moral of that story is I should start trashing certain artists and writers just so that they'll repost something. Is that what you're telling me to do?
Sure, why not? Go okay. for it.
All right, thank you.
So they've been talking about it, and like I said, you know, I know what I like, I know what I don't like, and I'm very adamant about it. But you know, there are times where like you wonder, well, if this person really likes this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I generally agree with the way they feel about a book or a character or whatever, then let me try it. Right. And especially something like X-Men, where I've always loved it, but it's just like every time I come back I'm disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm like, well, let me see what's up. right? Like, I had the same thing with Spider-Man, right? Because you were the one that said to read Spider-Verse, and I was like, ugh, Spider-Man. You know? It's the same thing. I used to love Spider-Man. But Spider-Man they had X-Men syndrome. And so I quit that as well. But Spider-Man was freaking fantastic. I'm still not reading the regular Spider books. But
that's okay. There's too many of them.
I will definitely read when they do an event, because I think after Spider-Verse, it really is very well done.
That's sort of where I am with Mike right now, because he's going into the, what is it, clone conspiracy?
Nick, quit trying to jump the conversation.
No. I'm just referencing that because since he's showing that and sort of mentioning it here and there, now it's like, dang it, now you, like, do you really want me? Like, I might be spending $4 an issue soon.
Hey, Nick, let me tell you a secret.
I'm reading Clone Conspiracy.
Ready?
But that's a secret. We can't talk about that yet.
You know I want to talk about PD. who's drawing that? Because there's... Oh, Jim Chung.
It's freaking beautiful, dude. And
dude, he draws some good stuff. Like, you could put... I hate to say it. If he was on Deadpool, I might actually debate on getting Deadpool.
I don't know about that.
He's really good. He draws some pretty stuff. And he puts in lines and costumes that don't even need to be there. Mm-hmm. But once you see them there, like a double line where usually you just see a single,
mm-hmm.
it totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, damn, that's sharp. Just like adding that one little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but go on.
So
real excited.
So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give this Death of X thing a shot.
Yeah.
Right. So I went ahead and I got the 4 issues. I don't. So my assumption is that mm-hmm. this ties into the books. I believe Jack said that it kind of does.
Okay.
But you don't really need to read them. Like Death of X is very self-contained.
Nice.
And having read the 4 issues of Death of X, I will say I didn't feel like I needed to read anything else.
Oh, nice.
So my assumption is if that's true, then cool. I don't know. It seems like that's the way it works. Because all I read are the 4 issues, and I was all over that shit.
Like, but that's pretty smart, because that could bring somebody like you back into like, let me try this one.
Well, so
I sort of like this artist. Maybe this one title will be good.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not bad.
Okay.
Like, they're not having read X-Men for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things of concern, right? Because, like, I feel like maybe I wouldn't know who most of these people are.
Yeah.
But so what had happened was, I knew most of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, with the Inhumans, I know who Medusa is, and Gorgon, and, you know, Karnak, and
sure.
Black Bolt, those people.
Damn.
And same with the X-Men, like Cyclops, Emma Frost, Magneto, things like that. I know all those people.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a couple, like, that I wasn't quite sure of. Like, mm-hmm. I had completely forgotten about the Stepford Cuckoos.
Yeah.
But they're in this. Like, they're in Cyclops' team. I mean, they don't play a big role.
But somebody could say that about Phantom X, too.
Sure. Don't let me forget about Phantom X, because when I get to IVX, I want to tell you about that. That shit was hilarious. So Cyclops' team is Cyclops, Emma Frost, Magic, the Stepford Cuckoos, and a character that I saw, and I was like, wait. Like, literally, I started reading the issue, and I messaged one of our Facebook groups, Ronnie and Aaron, Mike and Paul and Josh. And I was like, wait, there's a mutant called Gold Balls?
Oh, God.
So for a second, I nearly regretted having started to read this. Solely on the fact that there is a mutant named Gold Balls.
Uh-huh.
Oh, episode title. His name is Gold Balls. So...
what's his power?
All right, Nick. Let's play a game.
Can I guess what his power is?
Let's play a game. Okay. Guess what his power is.
Okay. Not knowing anything about this Gold Balls, I'm guessing that he is almost like Jubilee, but he makes his Gold Balls really, really big, almost like bowling balls, and then he can shoot them out towards the enemy.
That's pretty close, Nick.
Oh! Do they explode like Jubilee?
I don't know. We never see his powers be used.
Does he die in, like, the third page?
Yeah, pretty much.
That would be awesome.
Pretty much.
Oh, that's so good.
So I looked him up. As part of his costume, he does have three gold balls on his costume. One on each shoulder and one in his chest. And apparently he can make them, like, orbit himself and, like, he can shoot them or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It's irrelevant, okay, because they go to Muir Island to find Maddox, who I love Maddox. Do you remember Maddox, the Multiple Man?
Absolutely.
Multiple Man.
Yeah, X Factor. Peter David's run.
Yep. Awesome run, by the way.
Absolutely.
And matter of fact, anything with Peter David is generally awesome. So, yeah. Yeah.
Agreed. Even the dated stuff, he's still awesome. I don't care what anyone says. He's, God, living legend.
On fire. So they go to Muir Island to find Maddox because, you know, the Inhumans are trying to activate more Inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the way they do that is with the Terrigen Cloud.
Is this Inhumans versus X-Men that you're talking about right now?
This is Death of X.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, this is
Muir Island still... does it still look sort of like Ireland? Or yes. Is it completely wiped off the face of the earth?
Nope.
Wasteland.
It looks like Ireland.
Okay, cool.
And there's like a, you know, mutant research facility there, and Maddox is there with a bunch of other mutants doing research.
Was Maura McTaggart there?
No.
That would make my 80s heart jump for joy.
So they go there to check on Maddox and his research, and they find all the mutants are dead.
Ooh.
Okay, except Maddox. Well, one of the Maddoxes.
Of course.
There's like 100 of them. One of them is still alive, but he dies like as they get to him.
Okay. What?
Because the thing is, the Terrigen Cloud that activates Inhumans...
Is poisonous to mutants. Right. Wow, so all these people just got wiped out. All these mutants just got wiped out.
Right. Now, this was no surprise to me. Because even though I haven't read the books, like, I see things popping up here and there. And of course, I listen to podcasts, so, you know, I get the skinny without reading the book. So it's not like I'm completely lost on what's happening. But this is the first time that I actually had seen it, okay, in action. Like, it's pretty bad. Like, they have boils all over their body. Like, they look pretty shitty, Nick. How many curses is that? I don't want iTunes to
we're way over the limit. Right. That's about your sixth one. So.
I'll make sure I put a clean tag on it. And, So, so, you know.
Well, what a way to start off a series.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Now, with that said, like, apparently the X-Men, or at least part of them, and the Inhumans have been kind of working together.
Okay.
Like, the main group. Of course, Cyclops is, split off at some point. My assumption is sometime after Professor X died, but I don't know when that happened or how or why. But I know that Cyclops has been a dick for quite a while. Okay, I do know this. And that's why they had, like, young Cyclops come in, I guess, to have, like, a Cyclops that wasn't a dick. And, yes.
Side tangent.
Side tangent.
Does this frustrate you that you know something happened in the past, but you didn't read it?
So,
or does that inspire you that if there was an asterisk, see X-Men Endangered Species trade paperback?
Would that inspire
you to be able to, like, I got to read that. I want to unlock that mystery.
I would love that.
That's sort of where I am.
Yeah.
Find out, like, what? Elektra was a Skrull? Like, that would inspire me, like, I got to go back and read that. I got to see what happens.
I would really like that, especially in an event book.
Yeah.
Like, I would totally understand if they don't do it in the main series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or not as often, but in an event book where you kind of want to bring new people in, it seems like almost a given, like that should be in there.
Yeah, it's like they're almost ashamed that they have a really detailed history, because they want for every book there could be a new reader to this series, so we don't want to bog them down with all this history. But I hate to say it, like, sometimes I want one of these companies to, like, pull up their big boy pants and be like, no, F you, we have 50 years of history, and we're going to let people deep dive as much as they want, or you can just surface skim and read Death of X, and you're A-OK. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I was curious, because I'm that way. Like, I won't read anything on Wikipedia. But if somebody told me, like, oh, go check out Messiah Complex for that answer, I would go check out Messiah Complex.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
But at the same time, like, nothing that happens in this series I felt like I really needed background. Like, some of the stuff is kind of explained in the narrative. Like, for example, Beast has been hanging out with the Inhumans for, like, a year or something. Mm. 8 months. Because Beast knows that the Terrigen Cloud is toxic to mutants.
Mm-hmm.
So he's
trying to solve that problem.
Right.
Gotcha.
So what I was a little confused about is, well, does only Hank know about it and the other mutants didn't until Cyclops found all these people dead in Muir Island? Or, like, did they all know that it was a possibility? I wasn't quite sure of that. But it was it was obvious that the Inhumans knew and that Hank knew.
That would elicit that response in me. Like, there's no way Hank wouldn't tell people on Muir Island, because he always has a connection to Muir Island.
Right.
Yeah, that would send up, like, this is a mystery. Like, there's something going on, but I have to learn more.
Right. And so that's kind of what inspires the rest of the miniseries. Because Cyclops is pissed, you know? He's like, listen, like, the Inhumans aren't just trying to expand their population. They're trying to kill our population.
Oh.
Right? And we can't let that happen. Like, you know, I've always been here to protect us, and we need to make sure that we protect us.
Huh.
And, of course, Emma is egging him on, because him and Emma, are together. They're romantically involved.
They've been
for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
right. And you know how Emma is.
Oh, yeah.
Emma's very conniving.
Mm-hmm.
And very calculating.
Mm-hmm.
And freaking beautiful in this book, Nick. Well, not so much in Death of X. More in IVX. In Death of X, there's a couple panels where I'm like, whoa, Emma. Like, get off the ugly tree, bro.
Aw.
But overall, I mean, Emma's always been, you know, beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of egging him on, and they go on this whole. And I don't want to, like, go into specifics, because the dialogue is kind of specific.
Sure.
And some of it is kind of rhetorical. I'm going to read you a couple lines that Cyclops says towards the end, just to kind of convey it. But
can I also ask you, since you're coming back to these characters, and Charles Sewell, he wrote
Inhumans.
Inhumans versus X-Men. Who wrote Death of X?
Death of X, I think it's also Sewell. And Lemire and Sewell wrote Death of X, and they're writing IVX.
My question to you is, since you're you've been with these characters for a long time, they've gone through a lot of different voices. Like, every writer writes them a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Scott Summers' voice and his stance the way you remember it? Or has Scott Summers changed? Whether that's good or bad, has it changed?
No, it definitely changed, but I don't see it as a bad change. It seems more like a natural progression.
Cool. Yeah, that's how I take him too.
Yeah,
like, he definitely has matured, and his worldview has changed, as well it should be, because he's not 18 years old anymore.
Right, he's not 18 anymore, and of course, you know, Jean Grey's dead, right? So he's like really dead.
Yep.
So he's lost the one person that, you know, he really loves or loved. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Professor X is dead, so that's big for him.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the hell else has happened over the last 20 years, I'm sure tons of people died.
You don't hang out with Emma, and there's no way she hasn't changed your worldview.
Absolutely, right? So
yes.
We will get to that, Nick. I'm going to spoil the shit out of this.
I just wanted to know if it felt like he changed. That's what I was hoping for, because I don't want him to sound like the Bendis retro Scott.
No, totally. Okay, cool. So anyways, as things go on, like, there's a lot of misunderstandings, and I think that's what makes the story really interesting. Because there is no good guy or bad guy in this book, to be honest with you. You know, the Inhumans have their people and the mutants have their people, and it's just natural that the leaders of each of these groups would want to do whatever it takes to protect their own people. But at the same time, like, there are misunderstandings that probably could have been easily avoided, but that kind of gets sparked on by the littlest things, you know? And some of that is because of Emma, for sure. And now that I'm reading IVX, I see that even a little bit more, that some of this is Emma, which doesn't surprise me, because I remember when Emma was a villain.
Same here.
And I also remember when she started, you know, when she took over the school and she was teaching the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get it. And so that wasn't unexpected for me. Now, if a new reader were to come in that they didn't know who Emma Frost was, would they be surprised? I don't think they'd be surprised either. Because it seems very obvious that Scott and Emma are very beaten by whatever has happened to them in the past.
Absolutely.
And so, like, as I'm reading this whole thing, I'm like, oh, that Emma, she's such a bitch. But at the same time, like, well, you know what? If I was in the situation, I'd probably be doing the same thing that Emma's doing, or Scott's doing, or Medusa's doing.
Yeah, she's looking out for her species.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know. The only thing that kind of confuses me is Black Bolt and Medusa's relationship. So I want to dive into some Inhumans to try to get a feel for that.
Oh, wow. Are you going to be buying any of the Inhumans that are on the massive Marvel sale?
Well, Nick, I'm glad you asked.
Ooh.
I'm going to...
Well, it's in the script that I asked that question, so...
Yes, in all the notes that we take.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to pick up the whole run of Uncanny Inhumans.
Because you pretty much can pick up the entire thing, right? Almost.
Yeah. I think it's, what, like 15, 16 issues? 17 issues? I don't know, something like that. I'm going to pick that up. And I'm not decided yet if I want to pick up Extraordinary X-Men yet.
I did read the first trade.
Yeah.
And I haven't picked up the second trade, if that means anything to you.
Yeah. It's my least favorite Lemire book.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not sure yet. But I do want to. I want to know more about this take on the Inhumans, because I'm very familiar with the Inhumans from the Fantastic Four.
What about the Paul Jenkins Inhumans?
Yeah, a little bit.
With Jay Lee from Marvel Knights?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, because if that's on sale, you should pick that up.
We should find that.
It's one hell of a telling.
No, I'll look it up afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't want to continue our nonstop stopping for checking Comixology sales.
But what's the deal with Medusa and Black Bolt? Is she not his mouthpiece? She is.
She is. I just, maybe because I haven't read much of these characters in so long, uh-huh. It just seems like such an odd relationship.
Huh. I always felt like it was a symbiotic relationship. Like she knew exactly what he was saying without ever saying anything. She knew exactly his stance on everything.
She does.
It's almost like she's reading his mind, but yet she isn't reading his mind.
Yes. And okay. I mean, all he ever does is look at her.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But you understand that there is quite a lot being told in those expressions.
Yes. But I didn't quite get that in Death of X.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
I understand they must have some like really deep emotional connection to be able to communicate that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see that connection here.
Yeah, there has been. It's interesting because at least from what I know, and I have not read every Inhumans telling, but it seems like everything I've read, Medusa has never, ever betrayed Black Bolt, or at least his wishes.
Mm-hmm.
But then Black Bolt went and became part of the Illuminati, and mm-hmm. I'm sure there's plenty of things with the Illuminati that Medusa would have something to say about.
Sure.
And just to let you know, the Paul Jenkins Inhuman is on sale, 12 issues for $6.99.
Hey, Nick, guess what? Guess what? While you were talking, I bought it.
You just added it to your cart.
No, it's already in my... I already own it. It's mine.
Yeah. Paul Jenkins does some fantastic... And Jay Lee's art is crazy good. Yeah,
I love Jay Lee stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyways, long story short, there's a lot of misunderstandings and things escalate quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Inhumans end up on Muir Island. All right, so Cyclops' team gets Alchemy, a mutant that I guess can change stuff. That's why his name is Alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
And Alchemy, with the help of Sunburst, which, by the way, his costume is terrible.
If only that was Sunspot. Why they had to put him in Avengers is beyond me.
God knows. But this Sunburst guy,
mm-hmm.
Was it Sunburst? Because I swear, maybe it was. I don't remember. Anyways, he looks like the monster from the Black Lagoon.
Ooh, okay.
Except red and yellow. And that's not what he actually looks like. It's just a mask.
Ah.
Yeah, anyway, so, and I don't know what it has to do with his powers. So, maybe it's like a sun on his face? Who knows? God knows what's happening here.
That's a shame.
Anyway,
okay.
So he takes Alchemy up to the Terrigen Cloud, and mm-hmm. Alchemy turns it from the green Terrigen to some other thing. So the cloud turns red, and it starts raining.
Okay.
And the Inhumans pop in. And Scott gives his speech. So I'm going to read some of this to you.
Yeah.
Because I think this will encompass exactly why to answer your question earlier, like how Scott has changed.
Uh-huh.
But also like the stakes that both of these groups are involved in, fighting each other.
Cool.
And of course, all this helmed by Scott. All right. So Medusa and Black Bolt confront them, and Scott says, "I will not be taken prisoner. There's another cloud out there. I still have work to do. So this can be go easy or hard. I prefer easy. I don't want to hurt anyone. I never did. However it goes, I'm ready. I've loved who I needed to love, fought my battles, lost the only person I ever cared for. I've been a student, a warrior, a teacher, a revolutionary, a killer. I've tried to learn from my mistakes, inspire people, help every way I can. But now everything's tainted. Too much has happened. I'm not even a person anymore. I'm gone. All that's left is the idea of me. But there's a nice thing. Ideas never die." And so he shoots at Medusa and Black Bolt. And Black Bolt up is his mouth and obliterates him.
What? Holy cat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Obliterates the shit out of him.
Oh, man. Where do you go from there? Wow.
Where do you go from there? I'm glad you said that, Nick.
What issue was that?
This is the fourth issue.
Holy.
So it's the last issue of Death of X.
Dang.
Yeah. So
is there an X event that is the rebirth of Cyclops? Is there already one that Bleeding Cool broke the news of? Exclusive.
No. Scott's dead.
No.
Scott's dead.
But does his sweet ass costume live on?
Oh my god, that costume is so sweet, dude.
Tell me that.
That is by far the best Cyclops costume ever.
Isn't it?
Yes, it's so good.
Oh god, I love it.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Although, whatever, minor technicalities. I'm not sure how the X on his mask helps him not shoot his laser eye beams. But whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, they even had it. It's like some of the artists drew it so that it became like almost circular.
Mm.
Like the beams curved a little bit, like they were a little bit more wild and not just straight lines.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care how they operate. I have no problem. Just give me that costume.
So a week later, all the X-Men meet up on Muir Island to have a funeral for Scott Summers.
Dang it.
And Storm has some very nice things to say about, you know, how it, you know, the X-Men always go through endless battles and they always have to fight, but they always find hope in that fight. Like you were saying earlier, right? The X-Men's always been about hope. You know, a day where they'll find peace for mutants. Of course, we know that it'll never happen. The mutants will never have peace. But it's nice that they, you know, strive for that. Because that's kind of like what we do, right? Like, the world's a pretty shitty place. But if you don't hope that one day it won't be so shitty, then that just kind of makes you depressed, you know? So you always want to have, like you say, sunshine and rainbows.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it makes your day better.
Yep.
So anyway, so Scott's dead. He's pretty much a hero to everybody.
Yeah, he became a martyr.
He's a martyr.
Yeah.
And so we cut.
But did he know what he was doing when he shot that bolt?
Of course he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So at that scene, I was like, yes. Like, Scott may have been an asshole for years, but like, he's redeemed, right? Like, he's totally explained why he does the things he does. While he may kill people, and, you know, we may see that as wrong because he's killing people, or, you know, whatever else he's doing that we might find immoral or illogical or illegal, he's doing it. To him, the means justify the ends.
Yeah, he's protecting his family.
The end is to protect his family and make sure they survive and live another day.
Yep.
And so he does whatever he has to.
Yeah.
Which is kind of different than the Scott that I remember from, you know, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, who was, he wasn't quite a Boy Scout, but, you know, like he was a little more naive.
He was a Boy Scout. He was following Xavier's path to a T.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the Scott who is a lot closer to the Magneto path.
Mm-hmm.
For looking just for survival, do whatever it takes. Like, no one is looking out for his family, mutants. So he has to.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was up to other people, and at this point, I'm sure even Magneto would say other people, including the Inhumans. The Inhumans have no problem if mutants just die off to save themselves. Humans have no problem if mutants die off to save themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting how his theology has completely changed in probably the last like 10 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I love. It totally makes sense. Why wouldn't somebody who's young follow the person that is a teacher to him? And then guess what? All of a sudden you start rebelling against that philosophy and that person. And then you want to go and like carve your own path in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's just such a fascinating character. That's why I never understand why people are like, he's one shade. It's like, no, he's not.
He's right. He's not.
Yeah.
But that's not the way he comes off, right? Like, he used to be the Boy Scout shade. And then he became the crazy asshole shade.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we see, well, maybe he wasn't either one of those things.
Right.
Okay. So I was totally digging that. I was like, hell yes. And then we have a little funeral scene.
Was it tugging at your emotions? Did it at least work a little bit of that?
Oh, it totally did.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It totally
awesome.
Did. Because I think I posted that panel that I just read to you. I posted that on Twitter earlier as well.
Ooh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, much, much earlier than that Storm one.
Okay.
So then we cut to Emma. Sexy beast Emma. And she's talking to Alex, Havoc, Cyclops' brother.
Can we talk about Havoc?
Let's not talk about Havoc.
Why? He gets so shortchanged.
He does get shortchanged.
He's so good. He's the neglected brother.
Well, and apparently now he's got a Two-Face.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know when that happened. I missed that. But it's cool. Whatever.
You might want to find out how that happened.
All right, I'll find out how that happened.
Jonathan Hickman, that's all I'm going to say.
Did Scott blow his face up?
No. Alex is heroic.
Oh, heroic. I was going to say, he probably deserved it.
It's just great.
Alright, I'll pick that up. Anyways, they're going back and forth, and Alex is like, hey, look, Scott's my brother. Like, there's some bullshit happening here. He's like, his body's not there. I know that Black Bolt, like, obliterated the shit out of him. But from everything that I know, like, Scott gave up too easy. Scott doesn't give up. And so Emma is like, okay, I guess you need to know. So she takes him to one of the labs, and Scott's body is there in the lab.
What? Black Bolt didn't wipe his body out from existence?
He did not.
He can destroy a planet with a single word.
He sure can.
Huh.
But so here's what happened. When they got to Muir Island...
Did gold balls throw a ball around, Scott? Is that what you're saying?
Gold balls... What is it? The Persian... What is it?
I don't know where you're going.
What's that called when you put your balls in someone's, like, eyeballs?
What?
Isn't that Persian something?
Teabag?
Yeah, teabag, but it's got another name, too. Anyway.
I don't know.
So when they got to Muir Island, you know, the Terrigen Cloud is very toxic to mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And Gold Balls was with Cyclops, and, you know, they both got sick. Gold Balls was more affected, I guess, because he's younger and less powerful or whatever. But Scott did get sick, and he did pass out. And Emma, this entire time, has kept him hidden in one of the sick bays in the lab. Because Scott died from this mutant pox virus.
What?
When they first got to Muir Island. And so she's been using her amazing psychic abilities to project Scott to everybody else.
Whoa. Come on.
Yes. And so Black Bolt never actually killed Scott. He obliterated a psychic projection created by Emma.
Okay, can I... Holy shit, everything's fallen over at Nick Wetmore's place. I have to ask. His little soliloquy that you read, how telling is that, that Emma knows that that is sort of what Scott believes, that he only loved one person? You know what I'm saying? Like, that puts a spotlight on where she is in his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, like, I think Emma is totally in love with Scott. I fully believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when she's talking to Alex, she's like, you know, Scott is the only man I ever wanted to love me. Or want me, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I totally believe that Emma is all about some... Emma wants some Scott gold balls, okay?
Did you ever read, I forget what story arc it was, but Emma projecting Jean into Scott's head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. She's done some really messed up stuff.
Agreed.
But that's pretty telling. I think that's pretty cool.
It is. Well, and the thing is, like...
Because you expect Magneto and Emma both to have that realization of knowing exactly where they are in somebody's world and not under the delusion of we're best friends, we're lifelong mates, blah, blah, blah. Like, they know exactly where they stand. So for her to say that about Scott having one love of his life, one true mm-hmm. love, mm-hmm. that does, like, that's not a put down to her. That's just her knowing exactly where she was in Scott's life.
That's true, but at the same time, at the same time, it makes me wonder. Like, look, I understand she's the Ice Queen, right? Like, she's tough as shit. Tough as a diamond.
Oh yeah.
But I wonder, like, how much of that would actually affect her. I get what you mean. Where, like, she totally knows her place within Scott, like, nothing would ever be above Jean Grey, and mm-hmm. she seems okay with that. But
to the outside world, she
to the
is.
Outside world. But I think to her, like, it does hurt her, and I think
how could it not hurt anyone?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah,
but
that's what makes her a completely complex character.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I missed some stuff. Like, not only did she project Scott in Muir Island when they were fighting the Inhumans, she projected Scott in Muir Island towards the beginning of the series as well to every person in the world. Like, she pretty much did, like, the holographic projection. When they find out about the Terrigen Cloud killing mutants, there was, like, this whole big speech about how the Inhumans are lying and their only goal is to create more Inhumans, and the clouds will kill every mutant and human, and they have to, you know, band together to stop them. Like, the entire series, the entire Fortune Mini, everything that happens is really as a result of everything that Emma plans and sets in motion from the very beginning. Because, I mean, literally, Scott must die in the first issue. Based on what we learned on the last issue.
Jesus H. That is the snake eating its tail.
Yeah.
That is, that sounds like some Jeff Lemire type stuff. Like, that is some well thought out plot. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really, really neat.
It is.
Huh.
It's quite good, Nick, quite good.
Dang it, now you're making me wait 6 months to get that darn thing.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned Magneto, because she does get Magneto involved. Because, you know, Magneto's also, he's always been kind of separate from everybody, but, you know, for a while he was part of the X-Men. And
which was now, awesome.
Yeah, and of course now he's fractured again into his own team, so, you know, there was the Scott and Emma team, the Magneto team, the Storm team, whatever other crap teams there were, I don't know. And so now they're kind of uniting together against the Inhumans. And so, of course, like, Emma's plan is totally working, right? Because she's uniting all the mutants against the common enemy. Using Scott's death, or supposed death, as you know, the means to unify him. You know, Scott was already dead, but she made him a martyr by having Black Bolt appear to kill him.
Wow.
Yeah, so very, very smart. Very smart. Very calculating.
Dang it.
It's really quite good. I mean, there were some kind of weird things, which I guess that's to be expected, especially not having read it for a while. But dude, like, I immediately read Inhumans versus X-Men right after. And like that, whew, that is super solid. Super solid. For one, the art is, you know, above and beyond much better than the Death of X. But even okay. even the story is good, because there's a lot more character development with different characters. Like, Old Man Logan shows up. Dazzler's in here. Rogue. There's Young Beast and R Beast. What's his name? Forge. Forge is on here. Magneto.
What? Wait, what? What?
What, Forge?
Yeah.
Yeah, Forge is in here.
Are you kidding? Oh, my God. I love me some Forge. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. That's so good.
And, of course, you know, Magneto makes everything better, so there's
he that. Does. He does for sure.
But so this is going to lead right into that panel, Nick. And I'm going to kind of end the conversation, because I don't want to spoil more than I've already spoiled about this. It's really good.
Okay.
But so, although when IVX opens up, all the mutants are meeting, and mm-hmm. they're trying to decide the best course of action. Because at the end of Death of X, like, there is a peace treaty. Okay, like, humans or mutants and Inhumans have decided that there will be some kind of peace. But of course, it's kind of bullshit, because Emma, you know how Emma is,
mm-hmm.
right? We just talked about how Emma is.
Yeah.
And so Hank is talking about how he's been trying to find a cure for this whole thing, and how he's been working with the Inhumans. And mm-hmm. I guess Storm has too, in some respects, been working with them. So they're all meeting up trying to decide the best course of action. And Hank's like, look, there's nothing we can do to stop this thing. If we stay here, we're all going to die. So what we need to do is leave Earth.
Ha! Huh.
He's like, that way, like, no more of us die, we'll be okay. We won't be here, but we'll be okay. And, of course, Magneto and Emma, I mean, everybody's kind of doing it, but headed by Magneto and Emma, they're like, well, fuck that. Like, this is our home. Like, we're not going to the fucking moons of Mars to hang out. Okay? This is where we live. This is what we know. We want to be here.
So did Magneto say, yo, 20 years ago, I jumped in this big-ass ship, and I left Earth, and then I got dragged back here? Been there, done that. Get out of here.
No, he did not. He did not.
I loved when the Inhumans went onto the moon. So, yeah, put mutants on the moon. What the heck?
Well, and from my understanding, the new Inhuman series that's going to be launching soon, the Inhumans are going to be in space. So I'm assuming they're going to explore like some of the origins of the Inhumans, which would be cool. Yeah.
Are there any Starjammer appearances?
Oh my God. That is my least favorite thing ever.
What?
The Starjammers? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I like the Starjammers.
Mm.
And I liked the Greg Rucka Cyclops miniseries the young Cyclops went space adventuring with his father.
With his butt pirate dad, yeah.
Oh, don't say that.
That was not my favorite, Nick.
That was fun.
So we start finding out what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
So Emma starts talking about the whole plan. They start talking about every step that they need to take in order to make sure that they win against the Inhumans. And to her, the first step is getting rid of Karnak. Because, he can see the future, kind of.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they want to make sure that he can't let the rest of the Inhumans know what's happening. And then, of course, after that, they can go after Black Bolt and Medusa. Well, Crystal. I think Medusa was last. So they go through this whole plan. And at the same time, Medusa's making her own plans. I don't know if Medusa purposely knew about the mist killing mutants. Because it seems like they do, from everything I've seen in both this series and Death of X, it seems like the Inhumans have done everything possible to make sure that they can evacuate any mutants in the vicinity of a cloud.
Oh, okay.
So why the mutants are being so uppity, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, Johnny Storm's in here. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, he hangs out with Medusa.
Okay, all right.
So I don't know if he's her bodyguard or her side piece or what.
Well, didn't him and Crystal back in the day have a relationship?
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's with Crystal. I don't know. They don't mention that in here, at least.
Gotcha.
So we kind of start learning Emma's plan, sort of Medusa's plan, and, Hank's trying to convince all these people, the best course of action is to leave, that they only have 2 weeks until... Because the cloud is changing, and it's going to dissipate into the atmosphere. When that happens, it's going to envelope the entire world, and so all mutants will die. Within 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, within 2 weeks.
Jiminy.
And, they're like, can you, check your calculations? He's like, look, I'm Beast. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. And,
I'm Beast. Get off my back.
Get off my back. And Magneto's like, my people will not be gassed. And, that got me because I was like, oh, fuck. Like, he was in the Holocaust. Of course, there's no way he would want this.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So they have a little chat, and Magneto's like, I think you missed an option. We can fight. And, so we see Gorgon and some of the other Inhumans, they're trying to rescue mutants. So that's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem like the Inhumans mean them any harm whatsoever. But so they're in this one city in Russia, there's a mutant in there. And Gorgon rescues him and takes him to the Riv. And the Royal Inhuman Vessel, I think that is what it is.
Okay.
Whatever their headquarters is.
Sure.
At the same time, we're seeing... God, Emma's gorgeous in this. So at the same time, we're seeing all the mutants talking, going back and forth. And finally, they take a vote on what they're going to do.
Uh-huh.
And that was when Hank's like... Well, I'm out of here. And Storm shoots him in the back. But you don't know it's Storm. You just see like a bolt of lightning hit him and he gets knocked down and then pops Storm and it's that panel that I told you about. But this issue is really cool because you're seeing the planning stages and you're seeing the plan unfold at the same time.
Nice.
So it's cool. Like you're learning as you go. So of course they go after Karnak first, and who do they use to go after Karnak? Who do you think they would use?
Let me think. I would think Magneto.
Interesting.
Or somebody like, who was it? God, I'm zoning on her name. But she was the new Phoenix.
Oh.
Like the daughter of Jean Grey or whatever. The reincarnated Jean Grey. I forget her name. She was whole Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah, the clone Madeline Pryor.
Yeah. Yeah, the child of Madeline Pryor or whatever it was. Yeah.
No, so apparently they use young Jean Grey.
Oh.
The one that time traveled, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's who they use. I don't know when that happened. Whenever they brought back Angel and Beast and young Cyclops and young Jean Grey.
Gotcha.
From the 60s, they brought him to the future.
Okay. Yeah.
So they use her. And of course, Carmack's like, wait, I thought they would. He's like, I knew this would happen, but I thought they were going to send a warrior to fight me. And she's like, well, I've kind of always thought of myself as a warrior. And he's like, you're kind of like a baby.
You're a little baby.
You're a little baby. Of course, you got to imagine all this happening as he's like meditating, right? In midair.
Yeah, sure.
Anyways, as it turns out, the reason they use Jean Grey is because of her psychic abilities.
Right.
She was able to create kind of like an alternate psychic reality for Karnak. But it's like a time loop. And so she's like, we've had this moment like 6 times. She's like, I've been here for like 8 hours.
I love a time loop.
And she's like, and every time you realize what's happening, and that's when we reset, but there's nothing you can do about it. So that's pretty much what happens. Like she puts him in this alternate time loop thing in his head. And so he relives that whole thing. Like she comes to see him and they have this chat and then she reveals what has happened and then it kind of starts over. It just happens over and over.
Wow.
Emma goes to, so I was telling you earlier about this club. Emma goes to this club to find Black Bolt. I'm gonna post a picture of that panel. Anyways, there's been the singer there the whole time, and the singer turns out to be Dazzler.
Yes.
And of course, Dazzler can absorb powers, and so Black Bolt, he whispers, "Don't," and like, of course, this huge thing comes out, and Dazzler absorbs his power, and then distracted by Emma, she launches Black Bolt's power bat at him, and knocks Black Bolt out. That's pretty cool use of Dazzler's powers. I always thought of her kind of as a joke character.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of like Jubilee. But yeah, it works out.
But Dazzler had sweet roller skates, so.
Dazzler did have sweet roller skates.
Yeah.
She looks pretty baller in here. Pretty sexy in here.
She is pretty sexy, absolutely.
One thing I was confused about, Ms. Marvel is in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like two panels.
Okay.
From my understanding, Ms. Marvel is now an Inhuman.
Ooh.
Is this true?
I did not know that, but that's interesting. Okay.
That's what I'm hearing. Anyway, she's walking that Inhuman dog. What's his name?
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever it is. It's like that giant 10-foot-tall pit bull.
Yeah, with the Omega antenna. Yeah.
Yeah. So as they're developing their plan, Old Man Logan's like, that's a great plan. Like, I'm all for it. But what about the dog? Like, the dog can teleport the Inhumans in and out.
Uh-huh.
He's like, we saw that in Muir Island. That's how they got there and killed Scott. So they developed this plan, and the person that needs to go through with this plan is Phantom X.
Wow. First off, you had me with Old Man Logan. Then you're going to throw Phantom X in there? Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get to that page, because I can't remember exactly what it is, but pretty much he gives the dog clonopin. And so the dog's just, like, passed out, like, in a back alley somewhere.
Hilarious.
I'm trying to find this so I can see what the hell his line is. I don't know, it doesn't matter. It's freaking funny. When I find it, I'll here it is. he's like, everything I do for these people, everything I can do for these people, and it's, oh, Phantom X, you go after the dog. And he's just like sitting there with the bottle of clonopin. Yeah, it's pretty good.
He's so fun.
And then you see that mutant that they found in Russia. Turns out to be Magneto in disguise. So now Magneto is in, like, the Inhuman floating headquarters. And, of course, doesn't have to bypass the security system or anything because he's inside. And he just tears the fucking thing to pieces from the inside. So, wow. Yeah. It's really cool, Nick. Really, really well done. So we'll see. I haven't decided yet. I'm definitely going to read the IVX mini. It is 6 issues.
Okay. That ain't too bad.
So I will read that. I don't know about the tie-ins, although I might go ahead and read Uncanny Inhumans.
Sure.
But that's, what I want
to... Is that Sewell?
Yes.
Yeah.
What I want to do, though, on that is start from the beginning from issue 1. So I get more on these characters, because I'm just not familiar enough, and anything that I do know about them, it's just been so long that it's so far in my mind that I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't feel like I have enough on these characters to make a value judgment right now.
Gotcha.
So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to the rest of IVX.
That sounds like a darn good event. And it sounds like it's just enough extra offshoot issues. They're not going overboard.
Well, I think it's still too many.
I don't think so. Considering it's Marvel, I mean, Marvel loves to, like, put in 30 bonus issues. We're going to touch every, you know, every 15 titles for 2 months. We're going to touch them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's way too much.
Yeah, I guess so.
But Dennis Hopeless? Is he writing all new X-Men? I thought he was.
That might be the one he's doing, yeah.
That could be interesting. He does, you know, teen drama pretty well.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, just saying. We'll see. I guess it comes down to, are people who you trust their opinions on, if they're raving about a certain series, all right, let me invest the $3 and get that issue.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of also what's happening with the Clone Conspiracy.
Yes! Even up!
I was expecting to read that one anyway.
Okay.
Because of Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
But so I picked up Clone Conspiracy number 1. And it was pretty good, Nick.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty good.
Preacher.
Good enough where I wanted to see what was next. And the next in the series would have been, what is it, Amazing Spider-Man 20, I think it was.
Ooh.
And that was freaking awesome.
Dang it.
Because it's the return of Doc Ock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on board.
And the way it's handled is really cool. Like, Jackal's back. And Jackal... He did not clone Doc Ock. He kind of, like, regrew his body from, you know, when he died and transferred his mind into Peter.
Okay.
He has that body and kind of regrew it. But it's cool, like, the whole time, like, you get two stories. You have, like, the Jackal side and then you have the Doc Ock side. Because Doc Ock is still in that Doc Ock robot, the little spider robot. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, his essence lives in this robot. And at the same time, like, in the robot is that AI that he talks to all the time. That's based on his daughter.
Doc Ock's daughter?
Yeah, isn't that who it is?
Or no, was his girlfriend.
His girlfriend,
that he fell in love with while he was Peter. She's like a shorter.
Yeah,
she's a tiny person.
She's a tiny person.
And like, the robot's sort of like a spider slayer.
Yes, but tiny.
Yes, but God, yeah. I love spider slayers.
Yeah. So it's cool because, like, you get kind of a recap of that whole Superior Spider-Man thing. Not a recap, but maybe an extension.
Yeah, that's all right.
And there's a really cool thing. Like, finally Doc Ock finds his body. And I'm not going to talk specifics, but the way that's done is really cool. So he finds his body and breaks into the lab. And so Jackal's there. There's some other scientists. Lizard's there. And so he's like, we have to break through and get to my body. He's like, we're going to cause a lot of commotion. They're going to find us. So, like, they're all trying to catch the little robot. And he manages to wiggle himself into the tank where the new body's being grown.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackal's like, wait. Like, this is kind of cool. Let's see what happens. And Jackal's like, get me some popcorn. So, like, Jackal's hanging out, like, eating popcorn and watching what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they start watching the brain monitors for this body. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously a lot of activity. And they're like, oh, wait, like, the wavelengths are changing. So, as it turns out, because Peter's mind was in Doc's body, and because of the way that this cloning process works, when they were finished, when they would finish creating this new body, it would be Doc Ock's body, but it would have Peter's mind in it.
All right.
Because
we have the explicit tag, right?
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm serious.
Dan Slott is so freaking good. So he just reversed it. He reversed Superior Spider-Man, so now he can come out with, like, Superior Doc Ock.
Where is it? So here's what happens.
Good God, that's awesome.
So the little robot attaches to Doc Ock's body, right, like, to the neck, and so that way he can transfer his mind into his own body. But of course, Peter's mind is currently in this body. And so they have, like, this whole long, drawn-out fight scene inside Doc Ock's brain. Peter Parker's mind essence fighting Doc Ock's mind essence.
So who's going to be in charge of that body?
To see who's going to be in charge of the body.
That's so good! And obviously Peter's mind essence doesn't know that he's back. He's struggling for his own survival, or at least what he thinks is his own survival.
Well, and he also doesn't know that he's in Doc Ock's body.
God, that's so good.
Because Because when the mind was transferred, like, he died, right? So he has no idea.
Now, is this in Clone Conspiracy, the 5 issue?
This is in Amazing Spider-Man.
This is a tie-in. You're buying the tie-ins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. How many people... And I don't know if this is a Dan Slott incarnation, or is Christos Gage coming up with this? I'm not sure. But even if they're working 50-50, like in lesser hands, this would be a clusterfuck. But it so makes sense. Like when you're describing it, it sounds like, oh my God, there's going to be so many moving parts. There's no way this is going to make sense, work out, seem cool, be entertaining. And it's all that. God dang it. You're driving me crazy.
And it was also because they're fighting inside this mindscape. And, you know, Peter's like, you know, I'm Spider-Man. Like, I'm going to win. And Doc Ock's like, no, you're wrong. He's like, I was a better Spider-Man than you. I am superior. Of course, and that's when he wins and, you know, takes over his own body.
But remember the, and I don't know how many Spider-Man slot issues you read of, like, Superior Spider-Man, but there was.
I read the whole thing.
Okay, because there was plenty of times where Peter would be in that mindscape, walking around, talking to characters from his past. So it's so interesting that, like, Doc Ock is there now with him. Like, this little private area in his mind. Oh, my God, that's so
well, and so you're led to believe that he pretty much killed Peter's essence out of his own body.
But Peter's still there.
I'm sure Peter's still there.
Of course. Bless.
So then Doc Ock comes out, and Jackal's like, oh, that's freaking amazing. Like, you know, whatever. So they have a whole talk about the bodies. And Doc Ock's like, well, how do I know if this is my actual body regrown or if it's a clone body? And Jackal's like, oh, well, let me show you. And so Jackal's got Doc Ock's robot octopus arms hanging there, and he's like, it's, you know, only coded to your DNA. It's only gonna work in your original body. Anybody else, like, they'll just explode. And he's like, come over here and put it on. And it was the best thing ever. Doc Ock's like, come here and put it on. He's like, I don't go to the armor. The armor comes to me. And the freaking arms start walking over to him. And oh my God, it was so good.
Oh, that's so good.
It was so good, Nick.
How many issues have you read, even with tie-ins? How many have you read?
Just those two.
Okay, okay.
Just those two. And I'm looking at how many parts it is.
I'm looking at Amazing Spider-Man 22 right now on Comixology. I gotta say, I love Chemical Cooley. You know that. The one thing that has been a big letdown, I would say, the last 5 years, Alex Ross's covers. I don't know. Those used to be like pinnacle covers. And just lately, he's been doing a few Spider-Man here and there, and none of them are like engaging whatsoever.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Side note.
I mean, I think they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine, but they're not Alex Ross.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're not Alex Ross Batman covers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, here, I'm gonna give you the list. So this started in October. So the tie-ins are Clone Conspiracy 1, Amazing Spider-Man 20, Prowler number 1.
Good God.
Then you've got Clone 2, Spider-Man 21, Silk 14, Prowler 2. Yeah, so it looks like it's just those four books. That's actually pretty simple to go through.
Are you grabbing Silk 2?
Yeah, I'm going to read the whole shit.
Dude, you are so in.
Yeah, I'm totally in on this. This was freaking awesome.
Okay, now let me ask you, did you read the Before Dead No More?
No.
That little arc before it?
Nope.
Because I thought those were leading up to Clone Conspiracy type things.
I'm sure they were.
I'm just saying, they look...
I'm sure they were.
They look kick-ass. So it's like 16, 17, 18, and 19.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. Oh, you're driving me crazy, Freddy.
This is good, Nick.
Are you buying them digitally, or are you buying them...
No, I'm doing digitally on these.
Oh, okay.
Because these already started.
Yeah, so I just thought you'd want to go and buy them so you can have them.
Well, you know, the good thing about digital is, like, if I want something right this second, I just go ahead and buy it, and it's here now. And the other thing is, like
the
with
impulse.
Death of X, yeah, the, well, with Death of X, right? So I got the first issue just to see, because I was like, you know what? If I'm out $2 or $3, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then if I like it, then I'll go and buy the rest. Well, I don't want to double dip on this particular thing, so I just bought the digital and left it at that.
I hear you. Yeah. I gotcha. Man, you... Oof. Ah, you have been diving full in. Two titles.
Well, two events.
Yes. So, which is even more surprising because you don't like Marvel events.
Multiple titles.
Yeah. Who would have thunk it? I like it. I know the worm hasn't turned. I know you're not like Excelsior, make mine Marvel. I get it.
No, not at all.
I mean, you got finances as well, so you can't be like, I'm committing. 50 more titles, yes.
No, I'm not doing that, but I am willing to at least pick up some of these events if they catch my interest. Which, nice. I mean, so far these two have. I still don't have any care to read Civil War, so...
You know, Civil War 2?
Yeah, Civil War 2.
Yeah.
But I did buy some other stuff from Marvel, Nick.
Oh?
Yeah.
Some old stuff or new stuff?
It's not old.
Is it from the Marvel sale? The massive sale?
It is.
Oh, do tell.
So I kind of mentioned that I was thinking about getting these, and it just so happened that they went on sale.
Ooh,
okay. So I got Annihilation books 1, 2, and 3.
Oh my god! Oh, Ferretti!
I got Annihilation Conquest.
Yes.
Books 1 and 2.
Yes.
I got War of Kings.
I was just about to suggest it. Yes.
I got the Thanos Imperative. I got Realm of Kings.
I was actually going to suggest that because there's a 5-issue Inhuman mini in there.
Yep.
As well as Vulcan is in there.
Yep.
Who is from X-Men.
And I got Infinity.
Dang it. Ferretti, you are all cosmic all the time.
I love the cosmic stuff, dude.
So do I. Dude, and I hate to say it, Abnett and Lanning, there hasn't been anybody that has touched the cosmic like they have.
Correct.
Wow.
Absolutely correct.
Okay, well, can I run a few things by you since...
Oh, wait, I got one more thing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
World War Hulk.
Oh, have you ever read that?
Yeah, I've read it before.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, that's really good. Really fun. What about any of the other Marvel events that seem interesting or no? Because there are tons of events in this thing.
So I don't care for AVX. So I'm not going to bother.
Yeah, that's okay.
Civil War, like, it was fine, but I don't know. I'm still thinking about Secret Wars since you like it so much.
Hey, you don't have to, dude. Trust me. That's a guilty pleasure.
But I mean, I was looking at some of the X-Men stuff, just to see if maybe I could catch up, like do the House of M. Oh God, what else is on here? I don't know. Let me pull it up. Hang on.
House of M is really. This is just my two cents. House of M's really good. Age of Ultron, I expected so much, especially from Bendis and Hitch.
Mm-hmm.
To me, didn't deliver. Fear itself. A lot of people bagged on, but the art was pretty, and I sort of dug the reimagining of like different costumes that was affected. Would I recommend it? It's $3.99. You could spend $4 a lot worse, but I still.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion, that I love just because I love the paranoia. I love the Skrull. I've always loved Skrulls. So to imagine like the hero right next to you, is it a Skrull? Isn't it a Skrull? The problem with Secret Invasion, you can't just read the main core story because all of the offshoots actually flesh out what happens in between issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real jagged in between issues because it's just like, what happened? all of a sudden all I'm getting is a recap of what happened in XYZ issue. Mm-hmm. So I would avoid that. Sadly, I would avoid that. Original Sin. Don't know if you ever read that. Great concept.
Yeah, I thought about it, but never did.
Great concept, but it really was flat. It went nowhere. Siege was good. Shadowland was pretty disappointing. War of Kings was awesome. Necrotia, I didn't care for it, but you might. It has Clay Mann in it. And Clayton Crane.
Yep.
Axis, or Avengers and X-Men Axis. That was a cluster F that's horrible. Just horrible. The Ultimates was excellent. Illuminati was really good. There was one that I wanted to recommend to you. I think it was an X-Men title. Good golly. What the hell was it? Dang it. I can't find it. Help me out. There was one. I know it was an X-Men title. I'll find it.
What's Age of X?
I did read that. And it was completely not memorable. Spider Island was fun.
Yeah, Spider Island was fun.
Yeah, that was just... you also have to realize when I'm suggesting stuff, if it's $3.99 but you're getting like 18 issues, I do look at the value, and sometimes that weighs into it.
Hey, Nick, I bought a thing. I don't even know if it's going to be any good. I got All New X-Men by Grant Morrison.
Yeah, with Frank Quitely.
Frank Quitely.
Hello. That is so awesome.
I don't know if it's going to be any good, but I love Grant Morrison and I love Frank Quitely, so there.
Yes. Messiah Complex is really good.
Yeah, I was looking at that one. I might pick that up.
The only thing that's bad, do you like the art enough? I think it's Silvestri. And it looks like dated Silvestri.
Oh, really? Yeah, see, I love Silvestri, though.
Yeah, so maybe you'll dig. I might
pick up Second Coming.
Second Coming was good. Executioner's Song, that was fun.
Does Second Coming even matter anymore?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. But the art is fantastic.
Whatever, I'm going to read it anyway. I think I'm going to pick Schism, because I think that's when Cyclops starts going off the deep end.
Yes, he does. Right, yeah. That's him and Logan's breaking point that sent them different ways. But yeah, there's quite a few good little titles in here that I definitely would recommend. I mean, I think Infinity was fun. For sure.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, Civil War, I just reread that. You really need the tie-ins. Like, it is so jumpy around if you're not reading all those tie-ins.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to bother with that anyway.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing.
Oh, and of course I got the Inhumans by Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee
as
we were recording.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm surprised I think this is on my Amazon wish list, and for some reason I never bought it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you should buy that. That's fun. But the Illuminati, that was really good, and that's by Chun, too. Yeah, that one was fun. God, I'm just trying to think, is there anything that really jumped out? I did pick up the Kurt Busiek, George Perez Avengers, even though that is the Scarlet Witch Perez, like, umpteen curls.
Oh, yeah.
But it's 11 or 12 issues for $7, so I was like, oh, yeah, that's well below the dollar, dollar an issue. But, yeah, there's some good stuff, like, at least for me, like Black Vortex for Guardians of the Galaxy, that never rocked my world.
Right.
It just didn't go anywhere for me. But you've read, like, Kraven's Last Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good, good. And as long as you read some of the slot... Like, ever since Red Hulk, like, Roberto Ramos just can do no wrong. So, like, him doing Spider-Man, oh my gosh, it's some crazy energetic pages.
You know what the first thing I read by him was? Do you remember Crimson?
Oh my god, vaguely, but I never read it.
from Image. It was fun. They only did, I think, like, 3 or 4 issues, and then he took it somewhere else.
Oh wow.
Because there were a couple titles like that. There was Crimson, which was Ramos, Battle Chasers.
Sure.
I can't remember who that was. That was freaking awesome. That was taken out of Image and shopped somewhere else, and then canceled. Then they had a Kickstarter last year to bring it back, and I think they're turning into a video game.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, like 25 years later.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, Ramos is freaking awesome.
Yeah, yeah, he's fun.
Yep.
Very good. I think you picked up everything that I'd be waving my hand for you to pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you grabbed... I mean, I grabbed some stuff just because I love, like, Greg Rucka, and I saw that he has 2 collections. One Elektra and one... I forget the other person. Wolverine. Yeah. And I'm like, I'll try those for, like, $6. What the hell? The Marvel Universe versus the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Shockingly, that was an amazing, like, 4-issue arc. Tons of fun. They have the Hickman Fantastic Four, but you read that?
Oh yeah.
Let me see. I don't know what else. I think you... there is Cable Messiah War, Volume 1.
I think I read that.
It's really, really good. I think it's Straczynski who did the first Bloodshot run.
I'm looking it up now.
Chaos War, I don't think you need to read that. It was okay. You know, Van Lente and Koi Pham, but it didn't really... change the universe at all.
This was when Deadpool wasn't annoying.
Yes.
Yeah. This is good stuff.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I have read this.
And a quick question for you. Are you going to pick up the Uncanny Inhumans, those 2 volumes? And are you going to pick up the What If Infinity?
I have What If Infinity. It's really good.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like a post-apocalyptic thing with Black Bolt. And I think it's not Apocalypse. Maybe it is Apocalypse that takes over Earth. Yeah, it's really good.
Gotcha. Well, it can't be Apocalypse. It'd have to be Thanos.
Oh, Thanos. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Same difference.
Why can't it be Apocalypse?
That would be awesome. Can Phil Jimenez draw that, please?
Ah, shit. Let's wrap this up, Nick.
Absolutely.
This has been the Ultimate Marvel Podcast. What episode of Nerd Legion is this? Like 837, right?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Absolutely. If you count all the After Dark episodes.
Oh, Lord. Well, if you count by the minute, then let's see. Let's do an average by minute. We have done roughly, we'll say, about 8,500 minutes of this podcast.
Ooh.
Which translates to 148 hours.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're rocking.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Rock.
So Nerd Legion Podcast with Nick and Martin. He's that Nick Whitmore guy. That dude, that should so be your Twitter handle.
Just to make it even more complicated.
our oldest, apparently there's some meme about that boy on YouTube. I don't know. You know, kids these days.
Yeah.
Sir oldest daughter, she is always saying that boy, like D-A-T-B-O-I.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, so you can be that boy Nick.
No, thank you.
All right, he's at Nick Wetmore. I'm at Geekvine, and collectively and with other shows, we are at Nerd Legion.
Yeah.
I finally got off my ass and made comics in black and white its own thing.
I saw that.
So episode one is out, which came out in Nerd Legion episode 63 or 64. So you probably already heard that. But episode two will be out this week. And I think we're going to record the next one next week. So
very exciting.
Yeah, that's cool. I guess it's going to be it.
And
then,
don't forget our tagline at the end.
Which one's that?
Excelsior! Marvel. Pick my marble.
Good.